the Lord. I'd like to thank Pastor Kelvin for this opportunity to join you on your missions weekend. Praise God for the privilege to share from God's Word. Greetings to Pastor Chris, to the leadership of DMC, and to everyone that's watching. Praise God. Amen. The title of my message is Missions in the Midst of a Pandemic. Missions in the Midst of a Pandemic. If you have your Bible, please read with me from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 17. I'm reading from the ESV. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. When we think of the COVID pandemic, what comes to mind? More often, when I think of the COVID pandemic, I would think of the huge number of people that were infected. I would think of the number of deaths due to the virus. And because of the virus that easily spread, I would also think about the travel restrictions and especially the lockdowns. Here in the Philippines, we have quarantines wherein whenever a place, particular place, has a COVID positive patient, then that place has to be quarantined or locked down. Because of the lockdown and because of the travel restrictions, we can see businesses closing, common coffee shops where people would usually go or restaurants where people would usually go are now closed. Because of the challenges of the COVID virus, we can see that it has affected the physical aspect of the society, the health status of the society, the emotional, even the emotional. We would read the increase of domestic violence and even suicide. The effects of the COVID pandemic has been tremendous. And it's not only in our society, emotionally, physically, financially, economically, but even in the church, even in the area of ministry. Due to these challenges created by this worldwide pandemic, we can see that even in the area of missions, it's been very, very challenging. I've been in a couple of meetings with mission leaders in our movement, and one of the complaints is that, not really a complaint, but the difficulty because of the COVID pandemic is the cancellation of mission trips because of the strict health protocols, cancellation of mission plans, mission conferences, mission conventions, and even the missionaries that have gone back home have a difficulty returning to the field, again, because of the strict health protocol, because of the travel restrictions. In our own movement, we have two workers that are serving. One is serving in South Asia and one in Southeast Asia. And until now, they're here in the Philippines because of the travel restrictions and the challenges, even in the field that they're going to. Because of all of this, the question then is, how can we do missions? We know that missions is the heart of God. From Old Testament to the New Testament, we know that until now, it is the heart of God to reach out to the lost, to reach out to unreached people groups. So how can we do missions in the midst of a pandemic? How can we make use of our time in order to reach the lost? Paul, earlier we read in Ephesians chapter 5, the challenge was to make the best use of our time. So how can we do that? And also, are we willing? Are we willing to understand His will? Are we willing to walk in His ways and according to His will? Are we willing to surrender ours in order to follow His? So these are some of the questions that I would like us to answer. I would like to answer in our session. So I'd like to share a couple of ways how we can wisely make use of our time to do missions, even in the midst of a pandemic. As believers, we wouldn't want to be foolish, like what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5. We don't want to be foolish. We want to be wise. We don't want to let the pandemic hinder us or intimidate us from reaching the lost. And I do hope that as we study God's Word, you will eventually clearly understand His will and discover even creative ways how you can be an effective witness for the kingdom, even in the midst of a pandemic. So what are these practical ways? The first that I would like to share is, if you would like to do missions, if you would like to reach out, first is start where we are. Start where we are. Because of the travel restrictions, because of the limited travel, we can't go out because of the COVID virus, then what we can do is to start where we are. There may be unreached people in your workplace. There may be people from other tribes, people from other nations, people with other beliefs that you're working with, even in your own workplace, maybe even in your own community. And so we can start where we are. We don't have to necessarily long for the time that we leave our country and go to another country to do missions. No, we can start now. And how do we do that? How do we do that? How can we reach out to a Hindu? How can we reach out to a Buddhist? Or how can we reach out to a Muslim? Or how can we reach out to a tribal person who is so full of, who may have that fear because of spirits? How can you reach out to these different kinds of nations or tribes that we may be working with in our own workplace or in our own communities? Number one, to shine for Jesus. That's number one. Shine for Jesus. If you want to reach out, you want to do missions in our own locality, in our own community, then the first thing that I would suggest that we would do is to shine for Jesus. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." Initially, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." But then later on, he told his disciples, he told his followers that you are the light of the world. And so how are we going to live as light? In Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, the Lord says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others." So Jesus was comparing the disciple to a lamp. And so Jesus said, in the same way, let your light shine before others. Earlier, Jesus said the lamp can't be hidden, but it has to shine. So Jesus is saying that we should shine. And how do we do that? Jesus then says, "So that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." So if you want to shine, then one way is to show good works, to do good works, to demonstrate good works in your home or in your community, in your office, in your workplace, that people around you, they will see the works that you're doing and that they are good. The things that you're doing, the way you handle your work, the way you accomplish your responsibilities, the way you do your job, that it's excellent, that it's great, that it's good. And when people see that, they will be blessed. Jesus said that when they see your good works, they will give glory to your Father who is in heaven. And that is one of the challenges we are imparting to the professionals, to people who are working, that when you go to your office, when you go to your workplace, that you would shine by doing good works, by doing an excellent job. Number two, how you can shine is by having a good attitude. So not only doing good works, but in your workplace, if you want to be a blessing to that Hindu, that friend from India, or maybe you want to be a blessing to that Muslim, or you want to be a blessing to that Buddhist, then it's not only by doing good works, by doing an excellent job, but by having a good attitude. In other words, having the fruit of the Spirit. And what's the fruit of the Spirit? That's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. When they see that you're loving them, you're encouraging them, that you value them, when they see that you are kind and you are good, they see your attitude, that there's joy, that there's no grumbling or complaining, then your attitude would also attract these people and would open doors for you to later on share the gospel. That's the first thing that I would suggest that we do, is that number one, to shine for Jesus. If you want to start where we are, the second is to share Jesus. You see, when we start shining for Jesus, most likely people will begin to notice. When we start shining, when we start doing good works, when we perform well, when we display a wonderful attitude, a good attitude, these things can really attract people around us, and it would motivate them. It would somehow ask them, why? What's your secret? How are you able to maintain a good performance? People might even ask, why are you smiling? People might even ask, why are you so kind? People might even ask, why are you so good? People might even ask, what's your secret? You see, and so when people begin to ask those questions, people might even say, you're blooming today. They notice the glow. They notice the difference. When people begin to notice in your workplace, in your community, maybe a Buddhist friend would notice, then those are opportunities for you to share Jesus. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, Peter says, but in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. So that's very important, that in our hearts that we honor Christ the Lord as holy. But then Peter also says, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. So this is Peter. Peter was encouraging the believer not only to have Christ the Lord as holy in our hearts, but then when people begin to notice, when people begin to start asking, Peter says that we should be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason. So if they start asking you for a reason, those are wonderful times, wonderful opportunities for you to proclaim Jesus Christ. You can say to them that it's because of Jesus, the joy that I have, the peace that I have, the work that I'm doing, it's because of Jesus Christ. You can now point them to Jesus Christ. I pray that you will not be ashamed. Jesus did say that if we are ashamed of him, he will be ashamed of us. So that's another thought that we should be mindful of, that we should not be ashamed when people begin to ask. I remember a friend of ours that was late for a Bible study. And when I asked him, why were you late? He said, I came across some of my friends and they were drinking alcohol. And so I asked that brother, so did you drink alcohol? And he said, no, I did not drink, even when my friends were asking me to. And so this friend, he said that, so I asked him, what did you say to them? Well, what did you tell them? And because they were asking him, why don't you want a drink? And this friend of mine, he said, I told them that my wife will be angry. So he put the blame on his wife. Instead of telling his friends that the change was because of Jesus, he actually blamed his wife. He said to his friends, I'm not going to drink because my wife will get angry at me. So I hope and I pray to God that this will not happen to us. I pray that as you're listening, that when people begin to notice the difference in your life, because you're shining, because you're performing well, because they notice your attitude, that you're kind, you're good, that when people ask, you would say to them, it's because of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. What's the second thing that we can do during a pandemic like the COVID pandemic? How can we participate in missions even in the midst of a pandemic? Number one, a while ago, start where we are, to shine for Jesus, and to later on share Jesus. Number two, we can pray. Pray, pray, pray. We can pray. Amen. Amen. Even in the midst of a pandemic, we can influence nations. We can partner with workers on the field. How? Through prayer. We can be part of God's work in other countries by praying. We can contribute even to the missionary force by praying. Okay, what do we pray for? Number one, we can pray for more workers. We can actually contribute to the missionary force. How? Through our prayers. In Luke chapter 10, verse 2, Jesus said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, What should we do? Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Amen. The need in our world today is huge. There are still about 41% in our population, or around 3.23 billion people in the world today, that are considered unreached. That's around 7,000 plus tribes that are considered unreached. Meaning to say, these people, these tribes, they don't have any church whatsoever in their tribal area, in their group. Christians are below 2%, meaning to say that there's hardly any witness, there's hardly any person there that can really proclaim the gospel. So these people need to hear the gospel. There has to be people that would actually go there. If we look into the world today, most of these people that are lost, or let's just say most of these people that don't know Christ, belong to tribal groups, animists, those who believe in spirits, who fear spirits. Number two, the Hindu people groups, a huge number of unreached people come from the Hindu religious bloc. Number three is the Muslim people group. There's a huge number of people among the Muslim people groups that are still lost. They don't know Christ. The other major religious bloc that is really considered lost is the Buddhist people group. There's a lot of people groups among the Buddhists that are lost. And then the last is the unreligious, the agnostics, the atheists. So all, and plus all the other religious groups that still don't know Christ. So they are lost. The good news is in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, Paul says, everyone who will call, or everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. That's the good news. Everyone, it's not limited to Israel, but everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So that's the good news. But Paul goes on to say in verse 14, Romans 10, 14, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How can they call on a person whom they have not believed? And then Paul says, and how are they to believe in him whom they have never heard? How can they believe if they've never heard of that person? How can they call upon Jesus if they've never heard of Jesus? And that's why Paul says, and how are they to hear without someone preaching? How are they to hear without someone preaching? There has to be someone who can go and preach the name of Jesus, who can preach the gospel of salvation to these people. There has to be someone willing to go and plant churches to make disciples. There has to be someone. And how can we contribute to that? How can we contribute to that? It's through prayer. Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers, people who are willing to go to share Jesus, to make disciples, to plant churches, they are few. And so what should we do? We should pray. And we can do that. In the midst of a crisis, we can pray for more workers. Number two, we can pray for open doors. We can pray for open doors. Colossians chapter 4, verse 3. At the same time, pray also for us. Paul was speaking here. And Paul, though he's a veteran missionary, he's a super apostle, and yet he is asking prayer from the believers in Colossians, saying, at the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison. Paul was saying to them, pray with us that God may open us a door for the word. Amen. We can do that. We can pray for God to open a door in your community. You can pray that God will open a door among Muslims, among Buddhists, among Hindus. God will listen to those prayers. It's his promise. Ask and you shall receive. Knock and the door will be open unto you. God has given his word that we can pray. And Paul himself was showing to the believers that, hey, pray for us. We need your prayers. Let's pray that God will open a door. And so maybe you are reaching out to nations. You may not be able to go to those nations. Maybe Nepal or Cambodia or Thailand. I don't know. But whatever nation that you have on your list, you can be a part of God's work by prayer. You can ask God to open more doors so that the word of God, Paul says, may open to us a door for the word. You can pray that God will open more doors for the preaching of God's word. Amen. Number three, we can pray for the gospel to spread quickly. We can pray for the gospel to spread quickly. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1, again, Paul would really ask for prayer. He knows the role and the importance of prayer. And we can do this. Paul says, Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1, finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored as happened among you. So we can pray for God's word to spread quickly, to speed ahead, and that it will be honored by the people in these areas, in your own community, in your own workplace. You can pray where you are right now. You can ask God, God, may your word spread. May your word enter into the hearts of these people. May your word spread in my community. May your word spread in our workplace, in our company. And you can do that. You can, and then later on, you can pray for nations. Lord, let your word spread quickly in Cambodia. Let your word spread quickly in the Middle East. Let your word spread quickly in Central Asia, in Afghanistan, Pakistan, in Kazakhstan. You might want to pray for all these nations and just ask God for the gospel to spread quickly, to speed ahead, and that it will be honored. Amen. The next is, we can pray for our workers serving on the field. Pray for our workers serving on the field. Earlier, pray for more workers, pray for more laborers. Number two, pray for open doors. Number three, to pray for the spreading of God's word, that it will be fast and quick, that it would speed ahead. Number four now is to pray for our workers that are serving on the field. Paul, again, a missionary used mightily by God, would often ask for prayer. And again, in Romans chapter 15, verses 30 to 31, Paul says, I appeal to you, brothers. Look at Paul. He's really asking the brothers to pray with him. I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf. He's really asking the believers to pray for him. He's a missionary serving on the field, and he knows the importance of prayer, and he's asking the believers in Rome to pray for him. Paul says in verse 31, why? That I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints. So two things that Paul was asking prayer for as he serves on the field, as he ministers. He says, pray for me that I may be delivered from unbelievers. When our workers, when missionaries go to the field, it's not surprising that there will be people that are against them. There will be people that would want to attack them. There will be people that would want to harm them. And so it's important that us believers in our places, for you in your own home and for me, the Philippines, that even though I may not be able to go to South Asia where our workers are, I may not be able to go in some of the critical areas, but I can pray for God's protection for them, that they will be delivered from unbelievers. They will be delivered from people who have evil plans, want to harm them. We can pray for God's protection upon these workers. And not only protection, we can pray for healing. We can pray for God's anointing upon our workers. We can pray for refreshing upon our workers. Hallelujah. Even though we may not be there, we can be a support for them through our prayers. And Paul says that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints. So we can see that even in regard to his service, in regard to Paul's service, and the word here, service, is also, it can also mean ministry. It comes from the Greek word diakonia. Okay, so it actually means, if I got that right, but it's similar to the word ministry. So Paul was asking prayer not only to be delivered from unbelievers, but that his service, his ministry will be acceptable. It would be a blessing. It would be an encouragement to the saints. And so we can do that. We can pray for our workers that are out on the field ministering to the believers, reaching out to the believers in their fields, that God will anoint them, God will bless them, and that their ministry will be fruitful and it will be acceptable. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Lastly, we can pray for those in authority. We can pray for those in authority. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, Paul says to Timothy, "First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people." It's a general appeal. Paul was telling Timothy, you've got to pray, you've got to pray. And then in verse 2, Paul says, "For kings and all who are in high positions." Why? "That we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way." Very key. People in position are very key, so that there will be a peaceful and quiet life, so that believers can live in a godly and dignified manner. Dr. John Maxwell said, "Everything rises and falls on leadership. If the leader is touched by the Lord, this can lead to wonderful opportunities for the proclamation of the gospel in their area." I remember in southern Philippines, our team was in a very radical area. We were serving in a radical area. We were doctors. We were doing a medical outreach. And by God's grace, we were able to connect with the leaders and praise God, because the leaders were they were receiving us. And because these leaders were receiving us, we had the opportunity to do medical missions. And by God's grace, we were able to even do counseling. We were able to pray for those people there that belonged to a radical group. By God's grace, we were able to proclaim the name of Jesus. And so we were able to share the good news to them. Why? Because we were able to establish good rapport with the leaders. It was all in answer to prayer. We know that if it was just us, it would be very difficult. But by, we know that it's answer to prayer that these leaders were touched, and they allowed us to work with them. They allowed us to enter their communities. And not only that, we were able to proclaim the name of Jesus. We were able to encourage them. We were able to pray for them. And it's because of prayer. Very crucial to pray for those in authority. We had another team that was reaching in another radical area, and praise God, God answered our prayer. Why? Because the mayor and the chief of police, they agreed. They agreed to have our team there, and our team was honest. Our team told the mayor and the chief of police that they're there to share Jesus, and it was really radical, because that place was known to be a place of terrorists. But the mayor, who's not a believer, and the chief of police, who's not a believer, they agreed. They let the team stay there, and the team was able to proclaim the gospel. And just to make the story short, now we have two churches in that radical place by God's grace. And we believe it's because the Lord touched the hearts of the leaders there to allow the team to stay and to share Jesus Christ. So it's very important. We can pray for those in authority. You may be in your own home. You may be restricted because of all the COVID and pandemic and because of the health protocols, but we can pray. Amen. We can pray for more workers. We can pray for the gospel to spread quickly. We can pray for more open doors. We can pray for the workers that are on the field, and we can also pray for those in authority. Amen. So I'd like to end here. Two very practical things that we can do during a pandemic. Wise, I believe these are wise ways on how we can do missions, how we can make best use of our time instead of spending. If we can spend so much time in gadgets and in social media, then why not we have some time in prayer? That's one thing that we can do. And another thing is to start where we are, in your own home, in your own workplace, in your own community. You can shine for Jesus, and you can share Jesus later on. Amen. Two things. Start where you are. Pray, pray, pray. Amen, amen. And nothing can hold you back. I'd like to end with this before I forget. By Stephen Gaukroger, he says this regarding prayer. Prayer needs no passport, visa, or work permit. There is no such thing as a closed country as far as prayer is concerned. Much of the history of mission could be written in terms of God moving in response to persistent prayer. Church, we can do this. We can participate. We can be part of missions. How? By by persistent prayer. And even in your own homes, we can do this. Prayer is the mighty engine that is to move the missionary work. This is by A.B. Simpson, the founder of Christian and Missionary Alliance. Prayer is the mighty engine that is to move the missionary work. Again, we can be a part of the missionary work in your own place, in even in other nations. How? By praying. And lastly, by Samuel Zwemer. Samuel Zwemer is one of the most celebrated missionaries in the 20th century. He's worked among the Muslims. He said this: the history of missions is the history of answered prayer. Amen. The history of missions is the history of answered prayer. If we want to be part of missions, even in the midst of a pandemic, one sure way is to pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you all.